This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 6th of February 2010 here in Japan and the 5th of February back in Vancouver, where I'm joined on the line by DJ Ball, a member of We Are Change Vancouver and someone who has been closely monitoring the preparations for the Vancouver Olympics starting next week. DJ Ball, thank you very much for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
You're very welcome, James. Thank you for having me.
Well, DJ Ball, let's start by setting the scene for the listeners. We've been hearing that Vancouver is looking more and more like a police state in the run-up to the Games. So what can you tell us about the police and the military buildup and what that looks like on the ground?
Yeah, I sure can. We did a tour yesterday, basically, of all the major venues in Vancouver. There's venues basically spread out throughout the lower mainland. There's some in the North Shore Mountains, there's some in the city center, there's some out by the airport, there's some an hour and a half up towards Whistler. So it's massive and it's very spread out. What we did look at yesterday was we looked at BC Place, which is a 50,000 person stadium that's holding the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. That is a bit of a white elephant, meaning that it's in the same sort of, it's a building structure like the World Trade Centers before they were dropped, basically. This is a building that the developers and the city planners in this town would love to get rid of. Anyway, BC Place is something we had a look at. Security is everywhere there. There's airport-type scanners. There's probably 75 tents with screening rooms with x-ray machines and scanning machines. And there's 15-foot-high fences. For miles and miles and miles, the security is multi-layered. There's police absolutely everywhere. Now, this isn't everywhere in Vancouver, but to Olympic venues, there is police absolutely everywhere. We noticed a lot of RCMP. We noticed some Vancouver police, some Royal Canadian Mounted Police. We didn't notice any military on our walkabout, but as the games do get closer, we're a week away from the opening ceremonies. I think we'll find that. We'll start to see things ramp up substantially. We saw more police than we did tourists yesterday walking around or athletes.
Well, that's pretty disturbing. And we have heard reports in the weeks and months leading up to the games that the police have already been harassing people who are involved in protests or even people who are only blogging about the Olympics. What examples of harassment have you been hearing out there?
I personally haven't had any harassment myself, but what I have heard is people like Dr. Chris Shaw from University of British Columbia and some of the people that he's involved with that are the No 2010 Committee, anti-protest group. I've heard of police visiting them, asking about their plans, doing sort of a they're basically going after these activists and protesters beforehand and finding out what their plans. I know they're being surveilled. We Are Change Vancouver. Our group is more of a media group, so as we get closer to the games, we will be covering actual protests with the Olympics, and we'll get back to you if there is any sort of heavy handedness. I personally haven't seen anything. All the police that we talked to yesterday, we had a couple of them following us around while we were doing our video piece. They were all fine. There was no problems. When things get a little closer and the torches running into the stadium and the Housing and Poverty activists try to stop the torch, if that happens, if there's anything like that, I think we'll see a pretty serious response by the police. I want to hope that our Vancouver police come down with a measured response with any of this stuff, but we do have police from all over the country in. So that's a bit of a concern to me. I mean, if we looked at the Pittsburgh at the G20, we looked at police brought in from all over the United States for that, and we saw the response, and it was absolutely disgusting how heavy-handed they come down. So I want to cross my fingers and hope that the police are fine. I would love to hope that the biggest concern we have with our Olympics is a bit of protesters and that there is no false flag terror attack blamed on a Muslim patsy. I mean, the drums of war are really, I don't know how it is for you, but here in Vancouver, we're getting a lot of press about the drums of war banging on Iran. And if you look at lately with the ClimateGate hoax or scandal and all the swine flu hoaxes come out, I think the globalists, I think the global elite really need to have another major event here to sort of format and build a consensus for some more war in the Middle East. And I really hope we're wrong. We're not trying to fearmonger. We're talking about a false flag attack here in Vancouver. But there are some troubling signs. There are some players. I guess I should get back to our security walk, James. I kind of stopped at the BC Place. We went over to GM Place where the hockey venue is. Same sort of security, multi-leveled. The International Media Center and Press Center, which is right on Cole Harbour in Vancouver. We filmed from across the way at Stanley Park. And if anyone's listening, they can go to wearechangevancouver.org. We have the video of our walkabout and our security recon. The Vancouver port has an area right beside it called the Lower East Side, which is Canada's most drug-infested neighborhood. Beside the Lower East Side is basically Coal Harbour and where the International Media Center. So one of the potential potential targets that I could see happening is either a mini nuke or a dirty bomb on a container ship landing in the port, destroying the Lower East Side, which all the city elite here in Vancouver would love to see happen. It's an eyesore. They can't do anything with it. They would love nothing more than to see that area completely nuked. Trust me on that. You've got the international press, the eyes and the ears of the world are going to be about a kilometer from the Lower East Side. So for bang for the buck, I would really keep an eye on that. It's right on the water. What else did we look at? We looked at the Athletes Village, which is downtown as well. It's by False Creek, right across the water from BC Place where the opening ceremonies. The Athletes Village looks like it's almost like a brand new development that went $100 million over budget, but it almost looks like a concentration camp in terms of all the fencing, multi-layered fencing, checkpoints everywhere. And this is the thing for the police, is they've got to protect for every scenario. And from a layman's eyes, from what I saw in my security walkabout, there's absolutely police everywhere. It's all multi-layered. There's people in the water. There's boats everywhere. It looks fairly impressive. I don't have a military background. I can't really pick holes in the security. I really hope nothing does happen. But from what I've seen, James, it is basically like a martial law around the venue. I don't know if they have any other choice though.
Well, it is kind of a sad statement on these times that we're living in, but when I went to wearechangevancouver.org and watched that video, the security walkabout, one of the things that occurred to me was that I was expecting there would probably be some police harassment or something going on with you guys walking around and filming the locations and talking about security threats. So I guess it's a good thing to hear that there was no harassment, but of course we can't lose sight of the fact that that should be the way that the police would deal with such a situation.
Well, that's it. I mean, we had some undercover guys following us around a little bit, and then we just started talking to them, and then they walked away. They realized that we weren't, you know, we're not spying or we're not trying to do anything like that. There weren't a lot of athletes here just yet, though. They're all going to roll in a week. So I have a feeling that when we go back out in a couple days and we do the same route, I think things are going to change dramatically as we get a little bit closer to the game.
I'm sure they will. So how about the people of Vancouver? How are they reacting to this so far?
It's sort of a mixed bag. There's a lot of people here that are happy the games are here. They think it's going to be great for the city. They don't care how much money it's costing. They're really buying in. And then I would say there's the other half of the city that thinks it's a colossal waste of money. The businesses are being destroyed because of the games. The Olympic money's taking away from stuff like we can't even pay our paramedics properly. Our paramedics have been on strike. They were on strike all last year because they're not getting paid properly. We lead the country in child poverty here in BC. We've got the poorest area code here in BC. So a lot of people here in Vancouver think that it's just a colossal waste of money. I mean, they just spent $10 million building a Canada Pavilion, a tent, and a parking lot that by all reviews is an absolute embarrassment and a disgrace. But $10 million could have done a lot for social housing. So there's definitely a lot of people that are anti. I would say that I'm in the camp, James, where it's like the games are coming. We're going to pay for them, so I'm going to try to enjoy them. I'm going to have my camera with me at all times. If I see any sort of police brutality and I happen to have my camera, I will be filming it. I will try to cover as much of that as I can. There's a plethora of free concerts, art exhibits. There's a lot going on in the city, so I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as I can. I would say it's a mixed bag, though. I think a lot of people in Vancouver are dreading these games, and a lot of people are very excited.
All right. Well, as you alluded to earlier, there has been a lot of talk on the internet these days about the possibility of false flag terror at the Vancouver 2010 Games. And you've been covering this story closely, including, of course, your latest video with the security walkabout. Tell us what pieces of information you've been collecting that might support the idea that there is a false flag terrorist event in the offing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of my friends that don't follow this stuff think that, you know, there's always a possible terrorist attack Olympics, and they think that I'm just talking nonsense here. But if you have a look at if you have a look at, there's some interesting developments that have happened here. We had about a year and a half ago, Canada signed a security agreement with Israel. We had about around the same time, Canada signed an agreement with the United States where American troops can operate on our soil, which a lot of us called an act of treason at the time. Recently, we've had Stephen Harper, who some of us call Herr Harper. Recently, we've had Herr Harper prorogue our parliament, which a lot of people are thinking that maybe he knows something we don't and there's an attack coming. Those are all sort of things that could easily be, they could just be coincidences. We've got George Bush and we got George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. here last week under a complete cloud of veil of secrecy. I've got a friend that's within the Masons that said a friend of his had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. He wouldn't tell me where they were speaking because of the agreement he signed, but he said they were in town. I think CBC Radio might have reported it, but basically it was a very, very hush-hush little visit for those guys. They were here last week. I mean, anytime they're anywhere close, you got to wonder if something's up, those demons. We had Giuliani here not too long ago. We had Cheney here not too long ago. So a lot of the same architects of what I think had a hand in 9/11 have been here recently. There's a company called Kinder Morgan. This has got a lot of people talking. Kinder Morgan has an accounting issue right now with 2,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate. They tried to tell the RCMP that they've found their paperwork error, but the RCMP are still not convinced. And there's been a story in the press saying that this has been dealt with or the case has been closed, but it hasn't. The RCMP, from my best of my knowledge, are still looking for this missing ammonium nitrate. Now, ammonium nitrate, don't know what the importance of that is, was the same sort of stuff that was used in the Murrah to blow up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma years ago. The amount of ammonium nitrate that took down the Murrah Federal Building was about half of what's missing in the lower mainland of this fertilizer, this bomb-making material that's floating around. So there's a couple Murrah Federal Buildings roaming around lost somewhere here in the lower mainland. That's definitely something that's got the internet ablaze on speculation. We've got a company called Verint that is doing security out at YVR, which is our airport. Now, if they were going to follow the same, and this is a low probability thing, I would give it. But if Verint was going to follow the same MO, they do security at the airport. We've got a new brand new Tamla line, which is like a SkyTrain, basically an L train, that goes from the airport right into downtown. So if they followed the same MO, which I don't think they would, they're not that dumb, they would put a device on that Canada line train, they'd send it into downtown, and then the Verint security cameras wouldn't work. People are talking about that as well. There's quite a few other troubling signs too. I think we could talk about like potential coincidences for probably another hour and a half, James, but those are some of the main ones. I mean, the ammonium nitrate is definitely one that people are really worried about and concerned about. Maybe it's just all smokescreen. You know, we really don't know at this time. It's one of these things that's hard. We can speculate and speculate. I think the whole point of talking about this is that we need to have Canadians, if something does happen here in Vancouver, we need to have Canadians demand a real and proper investigation and not just take whatever patsy they point the finger at if something does blow up, whether it's a pipe bomb at a nightclub or a bomb in a hotel at a soft target, or whether it's a big, like a mini nuke at the container port, which you know, I really dread that doesn't happen because I don't live too far from that area.
Well, that's right, and I certainly hope that people understand that what we're doing here is trying to draw attention to this before anything has the chance to take place in the hopes that it will perhaps back anyone off who is thinking of doing something like that. Because, of course, if it's exposed ahead of time, it makes it that much harder for them to come up with a cover story to try to describe what they've done after the fact. But on the idea of the ammonium nitrate, of course, people will remember that the Murrah building was taken down, well, ostensibly taken down by the ammonium nitrate fuel oil bomb that ostensibly we're told McVeigh used. But of course, people might remember that there was a Ryder truck that was parked in an Army airbase that was photographed just weeks before the bombing took place being filled up with various substances. So, again, if this can be exposed ahead of time, it's easier to show what it really is. So, all of these are perhaps by themselves don't sound particularly important, but when taken together and taken in the context of the geopolitical situation that you were referring to earlier, I certainly think that's a possibility that we have to be on guard for. So how do you think that such an attack might play out in the current climate, and what might be some of the ramifications?
Well, let's just say, I mean, I didn't even touch on the fact that before I move on to how that would play out, I mean, I didn't even touch on the fact that we have like a man, I think it's Peter Power, I believe his name is. He's a British man that was running a security advisor that was running terrorist drills on 7/7 when they got hit. He's actually in charge, I think he's consulting our Canadian Center for Emergency Preparedness. Kinder Morgan, I didn't mention earlier, was just recently bought out by AIG, Goldman Sachs, and Carlyle Group. For those of you that are paying attention, there's a few more little players in that whole scenario that I didn't mention. That you know, those of us that haven't paying attention will definitely recognize those names. If something is to happen here, let's use a hypothetical for you. Let's say that the Canadian men's hockey team was targeted and all died in a terror attack, whether it was walking into a GM place, or I'm just going to go with one of the worst scenarios. Canadian men's hockey team gets hit. Stephen Harper would be able to call a dictatorship for probably the next 10 years, and we probably have 500,000 Canadian boys signing up for the military the day after. Same thing goes if they go after BC place. If there's any sort of big event like that, the war of terror gets a big boost. Patriotism goes through the roof. The new the Fourth Reich gets their new Reichstag, basically. So yeah, I mean, that's hopefully what we're hoping that doesn't happen, but I think these people do need a big event. I mean, you got Leon Panetta saying just the other day, James, you're probably aware, the CIA director, that a massive Al-Qaeda attack is imminent. So I got to believe Leon Panetta. I got to believe the CIA chief when he says that, oh, CIA has a big attack in the works. I mean, I got to believe Leon. So, they're calling within 3 months or 6 months. Maybe it's in 2 weeks. Maybe it's right on their border. I mean, that serves a good purpose. If it happens up here in Canada, it will scare the crap out of the American population because we're right on the border. But it won't look bad on Homeland Security and the CIA and the defense industry. So yeah, I mean, we're gonna cross our fingers up here, hope that it's just some paranoid speculation, but there's definitely some troubling signs.
Well, that's right, and certainly if an attack were to happen in Canada, that would bolster the North American Union process and provide a pretext for pumping up the North American security perimeter and starting the North American security state. So again, that could play into globalist hands very, very easily.
Yeah, no, exactly, and that's when you've got the Council on Foreign Relations, I think, in their document saying they wanted to have the NAU fully integrated by like 2010 or 2012. So, I mean, we're right in the neck of the woods for a massive attack to bring that about. I am worried. I can't lie. I mean, this time's here, James, right? I think nothing's going to happen. It's going to be fine. But, I mean, I got a bad feeling about the next couple weeks here, to be honest with you. I really do, and I hope that it's just, like I said, I hope it's not paranoia, but these guys want to bring about their North American Union, and what better way than some big attack during the Olympics to bring everybody together.
Well, that's exactly right, and I guess what we're doing is the only thing that any citizen really can do to be preventing something like that from happening is trying to spread the word about this. But I guess people on the ground in Vancouver can actually physically help you guys out. What could people who are there do to help you guys out or to do something productive with their time?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's look at the Christmas bomber. All right, now, for those of you, most of you know that the deal there, we had a guy wearing explosives in his jammies that had no passport and had no luggage and had no business getting on that plane, but was escorted on that plane by an Indian handler. Now, the only reason why we know that whole deal reeks is because of a guy named Kirk Haskell, the lawyer that witnessed it all, that had the FBI basically try to, you know, count him down for not, they tried to make his story, they tried to blow it apart, his credibility, but he's been vindicated. So basically what I would say to people in Vancouver is become a Kirk Haskell. You know, take a look at your surroundings, always be cognizant of anything fishy and mainly have a camera on you at all times. I mean, I plan on having a still camera, a video camera on me at all times for the next 3 weeks, and I really hope that people would do the same. If you see anything out of the ordinary, film it. I think that's the best thing. And if anything does happen in 2 weeks from now, say on February 22nd, hopefully we've got some video footage that will destroy the official story, the narrative that we're going to be given. So hopefully that's what I would say. I would say enjoy the games, Vancouverites, but also be prepared and have some cameras with you. You know, have a camera with you at all times for your safety, for the safety of the police, for the safety of the protesters. And hopefully we can expose these guys if they try any more false flags.
Absolutely. Some good advice there. And I certainly hope people will support you in that endeavor there in Vancouver. So, again, I hope you certainly take care and keep safe. But certainly in the event that there is anything happening out there, I certainly hope that you'll keep in touch and let us know about it. So why don't you tell people about your website?
That's what we'll do. Yeah, if anything is to happen here in Vancouver that doesn't, you know, if I don't die in any sort of attack, we are changevancouver.org. That's our website. We will try to update that with anything. I mean, if there is a terror attack, James, obviously I won't be able to do a bunch of radio interviews with a bunch of different people, but we will be able to get our first priority will be getting stuff up on our website. So that's wearechangevancouver.org. We've got a video up there right now that we worked on. I'm a little tired right now, if you couldn't tell. We were up all night editing. Go to wearechangevancouver.org. We've got a video of the security, the tour, and the mainstream media reports of the impending false flag. We had the Homeland Security Depot basically warning Americans. We've got an American tourist travel advisory out warning American tourists of an impending attack. We've got the CIA saying the same thing. What better event than the Olympics?
Absolutely. Well, I certainly hope you will stay safe. So, DJ Ball, wearechangevancouver.org, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, James.